do this to this distinguished woman?" she asked once she had collected herself. Gold, Roy, and Vandekamp herself raised their hands in favor of the motion to keep Vandekamp on the board. Bowers started to put up her hand, and Eisner glared at her. She started to lower it, paused, and then defiantly raised it. Poitier, too, looked like he was going to raise his hand, but after seeing Eisner's reaction to Bowers, he kept his down. He abstained, as did Robert Matchellet, a former vice chairman of the Seagram Company who had just joined the board. "I'm staying out of this," he said. Leo O'Donovan, the president emeritus of Georgetown University, said he was concerned about the process, but wouldn't vote against the nominating committee's recommendation. No one else supported Vandekamp. The vote was 12-4 to defeat Gold's motion, with two abstentions. Vandekamp stayed for the duration of the meeting. She was a director until the annual meeting in March, and she intended to do her duty. But when the meeting ended and the others started discussing their transportation arrangements for the annual meeting, she got up and left. No one said anything to her then, but the next day she got a call from Gary Wilson, who had been sitting at Eisner's side and voted to dismiss her. "Your speech was brilliant," he told her. "I'm sorry I couldn't support you." Curiously, there was no mention of Vandekamp's speech in the minutes of the meeting. With Vandekamp gone, the board proceeded to strip Gold of his co-chairmanship and membership on the Nominating and Governance Committee and Compensation Subcommittee, leaving Eisner loyalists in charge of all key board positions. Judith Estrin replaced Gold as chairman of the Compensation Committee, which promptly approved the special $5 million bonus for Eisner. Gold was nearly apoplectic. It was bad enough that Staggs and Murphy had gotten $1 million bonuses for the Family Channel deal, but now it was becoming abundantly clear that Disney had grossly overpaid for the cable acquisition. Despite his vocal protest, the Compensation Committee approved the bonus. Vandekamp wasn't the only board member who wasn't renominated that year. Sidney Poitier was over the retirement age of 72, and Disney declined to waive it, as it had routinely done in the past. As an architect for both Eisner and Disney, Robert Stern had been deemed non-independent. Bowers had already decided to step down after she was deemed non-independent. Disney, too, officially ascribed Vandekamp's ouster to unspecified corporate governance initiatives related to director independence. But when the New York Stock Exchange actually filed its corporate governance proposal with the SEC later that year, tightening the requirements for independent directors, it specifically exempted officers of charitable organizations. Under the rules actually enacted, both Bowers and Vandekamp would have met the new standard for independent directors. The NYSE also clarified the issue of the employment of directors' children and spouses. Under the rules enacted, children and spouses had to earn more than $100,000 per year and be living at home with a director. Gold's daughter earned less than the threshold and no longer lived at home. Ironically, it was John Bryson, whose wife, Louise, earned $1.35 million from the Lifetime Channel, who was ultimately deemed non-independent.